wonder, have you made your preparation to go there? Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear.
He's coming. And I do believe that when he comes in the air, it'll be just like she sung. I believe we'll go to a wedding. I'm going to be with Jesus. I hope that you are this morning. I hope that you're ready. We have such a desire, I suppose, to see people come to the Lord. But the Bible still says, John closed her out in Revelation and said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I believe that ought to be our prayer, even so, come quickly. All right, anybody all right? Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Give you a few thoughts this morning. Give you a few thoughts. If you're not saved today, I want you to listen. I want you to see how much you're worth. Would you understand that you may not think much of yourselves, but the Lord thinks highly of you. And the Lord does not desire for you to remain lost, nor does he desire for the world to remain lost. He has no pleasure in seeing anybody go into eternity without him. So much that he gave us really one commandment as a Christian. I mean, we have the commandment to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We know that. And to love one another even as ourself. We understand them are the great commandments. But as far as duty goes, he gives us one order, and that is to go and to tell. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's not just for the preacher. That's for everybody. To go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. To everybody, and that is our duty. That's our, he tries to make everything simple. He made one way to get to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. So you didn't have to worry about any other way. It's one way. So you can choose that very, very simple. He gave us, one duty, and that's to go tell people about it. I mean, really, how hard does it have to be obedient? He gave Adam and Eve one rule in the garden. So you can have everything you want, but leave this tree alone. And that's how we are in everything. We get one rule and we won't do the one thing he says to do or not to do. Now, I don't know. It's not because we're dumb at this. We are so set in suiting ourselves instead of pleasing the Lord. And somewhere we're going to have to get over that. We're going to have to remember it's not about us. It's not about us. All right? Let's pray together. Can we? Father, I come just now. And Lord, there's nobody like you. You've showed yourself so faithful and great time after time. In my life, yeah, I see it in others' lives. I read about it in your word. I go back in history and I see miracles that's happened in so many places, in so many ways. And you just keep showing yourself wonderful. And Lord, everybody don't understand it. Everybody don't know it. There's a lot of people that don't understand why they have it so good. They think they've done something, but every good gift cometh down from above. Lord, it's because of you. And help us to share it. Help us to tell it. Now, Lord, I don't know the condition of men, women, boys and girls in the church today. Lord, I feel confident to say that there's unsaved in the sanctuary this morning. I feel confident to say there's unsaved downstairs. And Lord, I'm asking as the Holy Spirit moves upon them and draws them that they'll call out to you and trust you today before it be too late. Help us to tell somebody about you today more than just in a church service, but help us to spread the gospel every day. And we're going to thank you and praise you for all that you do. Please give me power, cleanse my mind, help me to be as you want me to be just now. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've had so much on my mind concerning harvest days and telling people about the Lord. I've told you in the weeks and months past that there is an urgency, and I have an urgency to try to get people to come to the Lord just because of the day we're living, but to know that time is about up. I'm not concerned about Russia. I'm not concerned about Israel. I'm not concerned about Iran and North Korea. Them things does not concern me about how the world's going to end. I'm not concerned about World War III. If you're concerned about that, can I invite you to Christ today? Can I invite you to be born again and come and trust Jesus Christ? Because if you have Him, none of that's going to affect you. None of that's going to affect you, but it is going to affect those who's not saved. The greatest need that anybody has, if you're here this morning unsaved, the greatest need you have is not dinner, it's not the bills to be paid, but it's Jesus Christ. That's the greatest need that you have. The greatest need your family has is not college education, it's not trophies, it's not any vacations, but it's Jesus Christ. That's the greatest need they have. That's the greatest need of everyone. And it seems like the greatest needs are what we don't give people. We all the time giving people what they don't need. We give them a hard time, they don't need that. We give them judgment instead of mercy. They don't need that. We give them everything they need, or what we think they need, but what they really need. Right. Now, I know you say, well, Mark, you always tell us that. Well, and I always will. But we need to be concerned more and more. The attitude of today, now, I'm going to say something, and I'm not trying to speak out of turn or rude or crude or even say something dirty or anything like that. I want to show you the mentality. I'm not on Facebook. I don't post nothing on Facebook, but I will occasionally log on, get on it there. Cheryl will show me something maybe that's on there, and every now and then you read a comment. And then every time I do it, I wished I hadn't have done it. I mean, it's just I don't know what possesses me. I reckon I'll get worldly and I get on Facebook. But nevertheless, I read something that really bothered me. It shows me the mentality of people today. Someone had died, and this person was attending the funeral. And this is what they said. They kind of wrote a letter to the person that died. They were friends. And the post was actually, I reckon, directed to them. I don't know how they're going to read it, but that's how they wrote it. And it said, I hope you're doing well. I hope that the fishing holes are good in heaven. And why don't, I'm hoping maybe we can do some fishing when I get there. So until then, give them hell in heaven. Now, what broke my heart was that was said. What was sad is they used to be taught in this church. That's what broke my heart. It wasn't as much as what they said. That's a worldly opinion. But when it's people was raised up in this church, it wears me out. Can I say that again? Everybody understand what I said? All right. When if it's just the world's opinion, that's sad. But when it's somebody that was raised up in the church and attended Sunday school and preaching, and that's their mentality, I'm going to tell you, things is tough when that's what people think today. I'm going to inform you, you're not going to fish in heaven. I'm just going to tell you. You're not going to fish there. I hate to tell you that. You're not going to deer hunt, a squirrel hunt, coon hunt. Not going to go shopping. Not going to play no sports. And there's not going to be no baseball, golf. There's not going to be football, basketball. There's not going to be none of that. None of that's going to be in heaven. Now, if you don't want to go, I'm sorry. If you're saved, you're going anyway. But if you don't want to get saved, that's fine. You'll go to hell. And can I tell you, you're not going to do none of that in hell neither. You're not going to drink in hell. You're not going to party. You're not going to have girlfriends and boyfriends. You're not going to have that. None of that's going to go off in hell neither. All right. Whatever heaven is, hell will not be. Whatever greatness is in heaven, the hell's going to be that much worse. And I want you to know that if you think about the comment that he told this person to do, I'm not going to be a judge and say, well, that person's not saved. I'm going to tell you this, they're really ignorant of the Word of God. And can I tell you today that you need to be born again today? You need a change in your life. You need Jesus Christ in your life that will completely rework your mind and rework your heart to where you are not satisfied in this world. See, what saddens me is so many professing Christians are satisfied in this world or seeking their satisfaction in this world, and they're not even looking to the Lord. The world don't have nothing for a Christian. Now, the Lord has made everything to have pleasure. He's given us pleasure, and there's nothing wrong with stuff. I'm not preaching against stuff or standing against stuff. What I want to preach against and stand against is anything that keeps you from the Lord is wrong. Anything that keeps you from believing is wrong. Anything that occupies your time that you ought to be given to the Lord, I believe it to be wrong, or at least out of place. Amen. Everybody understand that? So when I get on issues and things, then we're not doing that because that's what you're doing. I'm telling you that the time you take is precious, and this is all going to burn up someday. Yes. Yes. It's all going to burn up someday, and I hope that you don't burn up someday. I hope that you don't go to hell for eternity and burn for an eternity. That's how serious this is. I'm not this serious because I'm a preacher. I was this serious before I was a preacher. And the older I get, the longer I'm in this, the more I see that people don't care. That there's no concern in people. But the Lord cares. But the Lord cares. Let's look in Ezekiel chapter 18. I'm just going to give you some thoughts. Probably won't have no title today. We're just going to look at some scripture and give you a few thoughts this morning and let you understand as we're getting ready for the harvest. Brother Butch prayed it there a while ago. The fields are already white in the harvest. Yes. They're not going to be. Friday is not going to be a good day to tell somebody about Jesus. Today is a good day to tell somebody about Jesus. All right, we may not make it till Friday. We may not make it till Saturday. There may not be a potato festival. But your family may go to hell before Friday. Your neighbors may go to hell before Friday. You may go to hell before Friday. You understand that? You very well, if you're not saved, you very well could go to hell before Friday. Think about that. You may go to hell. What was it they said? You know, you may address yourself this morning, but the undertaker may undress you this evening. That's how things really are. That's the reality of things, okay? Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 18. And let's look at verse 20. And let's just see how important a soul is, how important somebody is, all right? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins, that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God? and not that he should return from his ways and live? Drop down to verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. The Lord don't have any pleasure in people that die without him. The Lord has no pleasure in that. Now, the Lord is just. God is just. Now, there are times that we have said, maybe not everybody, but I'd say there's a good many in here this morning, those on live stream and those that will listen on the webpage later on today, that have said at some time, I wish they were dead. But yet the Lord don't have no pleasure in anyone dying without him. We probably got mad at somebody and said, I just wish you'd die. You know, at people get that mad, that angry. But you know, the Lord has all the right to be angry. And the Lord even said, the Bible even says that he's angry with the wicked every day. But you know, nowhere does he says, I hope they die today. He cares more than anybody else about those that's going to perish without him. And the soul is so important. The soul is more than just, we look at color, we look at creed, we look at people, we look at family, we look at friends, but the Lord looks at the soul. You know, Brother Boyd's been flying all over the creation here lately, going back and forth to Africa, and they're planning to go again this fall, maybe even a double trip to Burma and Africa. We'll wait to see how that goes. And as they go, you know, when they list all the passengers on the plane, they'll have their name on there. They'll have their name, and if they get their records, they'll go back and see where the ticket was purchased and the amount and everything. But what they'll say, that there's 268 souls aboard. Yeah. Or 150 souls or what have you. Because they're not concerned about the name. They're just wanting to be accountable for the souls, for the people that's on there. See, I'm afraid we're worried about names and color and prestige and who we like and who we don't, instead of just being people, just being souls. But the Lord don't look at it like that. He looks at you are just as important as you, and you are just as important as you, and you are just as important as them over there in other country or anywhere else. That's the way the Lord looks at it. And then when all the bottom line comes down, you've heard it told many times, you know, about the Titanic, and there's always something in the news about the Titanic. They're taking another picture or something, and the reason being the movie's made, and the reason being is it was such a tragic thing. But when everything was said and done and everything was all laid out, they didn't write that they was 23 millionaires and 250 rich people and 197 paupers. They didn't have, they said, they were so many people saved and so many souls saved and so many souls lost. That's how it was listed on the paperwork. It didn't worry about how much money they had, didn't worry about where they was from, but the concern was about the soul. Can I tell you this morning that God's concerned about your soul? But we're not concerned about the souls of men and women. We're concerned about us. And we're not even concerned about our soul. We're concerned about our flesh. We're concerned today about what makes us happy, what makes us comfortable, what makes us rich. People want money. Well, what do you want money for? You're not going to spend it. You're going to put it in the bank.
Right.
Can I tell you that when you die, you know how much you're going to leave? All of it. Then whose will this stuff be? It's what the Bible said. When a rich man died and he said, you know, before he died, he said, I'm going to build barns bigger and do all this and do all that. And the Lord said, now who's all this stuff going to belong to when you're dead? But yet we'll spend our life trying to put our money up. And, well, there's nothing wrong with money. I wish I had more of it. Don't you wish you had more of it? How many wish you had more money?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't raise your hand. You need to go see a psychiatrist because you're nutty as a fruitcake. Everybody needs more money. Everybody would like that more money. If you don't like more money, then you didn't hear what I said. Or you, I mean, something was wrong. Because you can do a lot with money. Money's not the issue. It's the love of money that's the problem. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. But we're not concerned about all that. We're concerned about what's going to make us happy. We're concerned about what's going to make us healthy to a degree. All right, we only want to be healthy if we can take a pill and it don't take us, we don't have to change nothing. All right, see, what we want is high cholesterol pill, but we don't want to quit eating grease. Which grease ain't really what caused it. I don't have high cholesterol and I eat a lot of grease. All right, sweets really is causes you more high cholesterol for all y'all sugar lovers out there. That causes you more high cholesterol than and carbohydrates does than bacon grease. I'm proof of that because I drink bacon grease and my cholesterol was 123 the last I had it checked. I just encourage all you high cholesterol people. All right, but we want a pill to make us feel better, not to make us healthy, but make us feel better so we can have more pleasure. But we're not going to change the way we're living to feel better. See, we're not concerned about the things that matter. And we're not concerned about how you live, you know. People that smoke, if you smoke, that's your business, all right? But you're not worried about the people around you, or you would never smoke around people. Right? Because secondhand smoke, they say, is worse. I know what secondhand smoke does. We used to have to drive around Fed Station all the time, and Daddy smoked back years ago, and we all got car sick all the time. Because we were smelling smoke going around Fed Station. And you say, well, how's that now? Well, I drive around it now and I don't get sick. Me and Mooney's talked about it. I believe it was the smoke. I believe that's what it was. But anyway, that's just another thing. What I'm trying to get you to understand is the importance that we look at is not of the soul, it's of the flesh. Is everybody understanding? We want to do what appeases the flesh. Not what appeases the soul, not what's good for the soul. The Bible says here that the soul that sinneth it shall die. You know, Jesus even said himself, don't fear the one that'll kill your body, but fear the one that'll kill your body and your soul and cast your soul into hell. It's the soul that is the important part. It's who you really are, what you really are down inside that matters. And we don't look at it like that. You know, well, I can't tell somebody about Jesus, it may offend them. Offend their feelings. Offend their flesh. Can I tell you that after they die and lift up their eyes in hell, you'll not offend their soul? They'll wish you could come and tell them again. Did not the rich man in Luke 16 say, send him back to my brothers. Tell him he was more concerned about what we are. I want you to understand this morning that the soul's important. Are we there? Are we understanding that? The soul is important. Can I tell you the soul is important, but there's some things about the soul we don't like to own up to. Verse 20 says, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Can I tell you that the soul, you're going to answer for yourself. You're going to answer for yourself. See, what I see is a personal sentence, the soul that sinneth it shall die. What I see next is a personal debt. You're going to pay for what you've done.
That's right.
You're going to pay for what you've done. You're not going to, well, I had a hard life. So? I'm sorry you had a hard life. That ain't got a thing to do with you being lost or saved.
That's right.
Do you know that? I know people ain't had nothing. They're saved. I know people's had everything and they're not.
Right?
I know people that was abused from the time they was born, grew up to be preachers, won many souls to the Lord and done great. And I know people that was nurtured like you wouldn't believe and are probably some of the wickedest people that's ever walked this face this earth.
Yes.
See, ain't got nothing to do with it. You can't use the excuse, well, that was the way I was raised. If that's the case, some of y'all was raised a lot better than you're living. How come? We don't want to look at that. Suppose someone's raised a little more than you're doing. How come you ain't doing? And a hush goes over the church. Huh? See, we only look at it when we need an excuse. But see, there ain't no excuse. For the son's going to answer for his, and the daddy's going to answer for his. See, that's just the truth of the matter. We all right? That's a personal sin, a personal debt. And can I tell you, the personal plea is what the Lord says. He said, cast away, verse 31, cast away from you all your transgressions. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed. Make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die? If you're here lost this morning, why you want to die like that? Why you want to die unsaved this morning? Why you want to die away from the Lord? I don't know of anybody that really wants to go to hell. Now, we tell people and we've told people in our past to go there. We've listened to people curse and all this and wish people there. But nobody ever gets up and says, I wish I was in hell today. Nobody does that. So why will you die? It's what the Lord's asking. Why will you die? Why will you go that route? Huh? He said, I don't have no pleasure in this. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Turn yourselves and live. That's the plea. It's a personal plea. Turn yourselves. Huh? And live. So if you're here this morning lost, I want you, you need to turn. Somewhere you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn from the direction you're going and trust the Lord. You're going to have to turn. This, that's simple. And that's what we're supposed to be telling people. There's been illustrations given about salvation. I mean, all kinds of stories and analogies and illustrations, you know, down through the years, you know. I think of one about the cliff that right in a sharp hairpin curve. And I always think of Fat Mountain Fest Station where we used to drive all the time. If y'all, a lot of y'all know where I'm talking about, I'm sure. That used to be the main road before 1977. The road under the New River Bridge was the main road. That was a two-lane, it's still one lane, but there was two-way traffic there. That was the way we traveled all the time to go anywhere. That's the normal road. And I always think of this, but there was a sharp curve in my hairpin curve, you know, as you can see your own license plate on, you know, at that's the kind they are. Well, they said that there was a place and everybody kept going over the hill. Kept going over the hill. So the county commission got together and said, what do we do to keep people from going over the hill? They're dying. They're growing. And they said, well, let's put an ambulance down at the bottom of the hill. So we can have somebody on guard all the time. So when they go over the hill, we can get them in the ambulance. And the people said, that would work. That's great. So they put an ambulance down the foot of the hill. And people kept going over the hill and dying. Finally, the janitor come through and said, why don't y'all just put a guardrail up? Yeah. See, the churches today just want to get an ambulance. And they just want to have a place, a hospital to get everybody feel better. And there in case they have a problem. But what we ought to do is the ones we ought to build up a guardrail and stand out there and keep people from going over the hill. Right. Are you understanding me this morning? I believe we need to be concerned about the soul instead of a lot of things. What is the worth of a soul? Well, let's look and see if we can find that. How about Matthew chapter 16? Everybody still with me this morning? Matthew chapter 16. See what Jesus said about the soul. Matthew chapter 16. About verse 26. It said, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what he's asking? He said, there's what he's saying here, there's nothing you can own, nothing you can possess that is worth more than your soul. Nothing. Nothing. There's no money, there's no property, there's no possessions that is worth more. For what would it profit if you had all that? You still lose your soul. There's nothing can replace that. Look in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, he repeats it. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36-37. He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" See, that there's nothing on this earth more worth more than your soul. You can't, there's not enough money that's going to equal your soul. There's not enough possession. There's not enough wealth. There's nothing more worth more than your eternal soul. Now we read that and we understand that, but do we really believe that? Because we're still trying to give everybody everything but what they need to save their soul. Let me ask you, do not raise your hand. Do not say a word. I just want you to answer this in your mind. How many people did you give the gospel to this week? How many people did you give the gospel to? I didn't say how many people did you invite to church, how many people you called to see how they're feeling. How many people did you give the gospel to this week? How many people do you know that's lost? How many people did you give the gospel to? Did you give the gospel to any? If not, why not? How many people did you see this week? How many people did you converse with this week? How many times did you go to the store this week and buy something that you had to speak to someone at the checkout counter? How many drive-thrus did you go through this week? How many restaurants did you sit down and eat a meal and order something? How many times did you pump gas and go and give somebody the money for your gas? How many people did you work with this week? How many patients did you have as a doctor or a nurse? How many workmates did you have? How many people did you talk to at school? How many bus drivers? How many school teachers? Who did you converse with this week? Now, let me ask you again. How many people did you give the gospel to this week? How many people did you stop and say, "Listen"? You say, "Well, there's a lot of people I didn't know." What's that got to do with it? Right. They wrote down on the airplane that you're a soul, and the Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. They write down on a boat how many souls. Me and Cheryl went on a cruise back in 2002, and they couldn't care less about our name, but they had how many souls was on board. Because the soul wasn't important, and the soul that sinneth it shall die. I'm just asking today, I mean, we're getting ready for harvest week next week, okay? I'm just wondering how many talk to somebody this week about Jesus. Are you mad at it? Was you saying, "I'll not tell them about Jesus today"? He ain't going to do it. No siree, I'm not doing it today, no. No, we don't think that, do we? That don't enter our mind. Huh? Now, well, I shouldn't say it don't enter our mind. Maybe it entered somebody's mind. You might have told somebody to go there today. You may have told somebody to do it up at the stoplight. Huh? I don't know. I'm just asking. There's nothing more important than a soul. There's nothing more important. Well, let me ask you this. Who's more important to you, my kids or yours? I'm asking you. You tell me, how many have my kids and my grandkids, they're on your top of your list, they're more important than your own? Anybody? No. Did you tell your kids this week about Jesus? Did you try to make sure your kids were saved this week? Did you get assurance from them they were saved this week? You say, "Well, did you?" Yeah, I did. Yeah, Marcus is the preacher. I always ask him, you sure you're saved? You sure you're right? Yes, Dad. Yes, Dad. It's hard for me to tell Philip because he's asking me. Dad, you saved or not? That's what he asks me every time I see him. Huh? Huh? You saved? Now see, it's about time. He knows me well, doesn't he, Doc? I'm serious this morning. Listen, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse or trying. I'm asking you, if the Bible says a soul that sinneth shall die, is it very important that your children die, yes or no? You tell me. Will it break your heart more if your kids die or if mine die? Which will it affect you more? Well, it'll affect you if your kids die. But yet you don't try to get them saved. Well, no, don't well me.
Come on, preacher.
Don't well me.
Amen.
Huh? Come on. Huh? Now, I don't know what you done. I'm not saying this that everybody ought to do this. I'm going to tell you what I did. When I held Marcus for the first time, well, but even before I held him, when he was in Cheryl's belly, she was carrying him. I prayed that God would take him and use him in some way.
Yeah.
Save him.
Yeah.
When I held him, I talked to him about the Lord. Listen, when Levi was born, my oldest grandson, we went down there to see him. He handed me Levi. My head was that big around. I mean, I was the proudest pawpaw that ever was. And I looked in his face and the very first thing I said, Levi, you're a sinner. You are a sinner, but Jesus died for you, Levi. I want you to hear it. That Jesus died for you. You say you're crazy. No, I started when the first moment I held him in my arms. I told him about Jesus.
Yes.
Same way with Marcus and Philip.
Yes.
And I told them that every day. And you've witnessed me do it here in the church. And I raise them up and get them by the shirt collar and ask them for a Christian. Why? Because it was more important to me that they lived, not died.
Amen.
I did not want them to die. For the soul that said it shall die. And you said, well, I just have a hard time. Well, get over it. Get over it. Take your Dramamine. Huh? I have trouble with a ride. I have trouble getting seasick. Well, they'll find something, put something behind your ear and go on. But they don't want them to die. I'm serious this morning. The soul that sinneth it shall die, huh? How about 2 Peter? We still okay this morning? I'm just trying to get us to think a little bit. I'm worried about harvest, but I'm worried about today. I'm worried about you and your soul today. I'm worried about your children today. I'm worried about the children downstairs. See, what's concerning me is watching our young people. And we go, listen, it ain't been just a few years ago. We had 132 on buses.
Yes.
It's concerning me we don't have 132 on buses anymore. It concerns me. There was a time, and I drove one of them when we drove both buses from Fed County. And we'd have 70-some on the two buses. We would have 70-some. But we don't have that no more. I'm concerned about our young people. They're here. I drove by the ball field the other night, and there was kids everywhere. Up here at the fair, there was kids everywhere.
Right.
See them on the street, they're everywhere.
Right.
I'm worried about the kids. I'm worried about the parents. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you that the Lord is concerned about your soul and your children's soul and your neighbor's soul? Somewhere we're going to have to get back in our mind and make the main thing the main thing. How many times I've preached that very title, making the main thing the main thing. And it's still the main thing. It's still the main thing. What I shared with you the other Sunday night about the feller went to the old broken down church and they ain't having church no more, there no more. And across the wall above the baptistry, it had said at one time, where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Everybody sees that and everybody in your mind, can you see that? Talk to me.
Yes, sir.
But the W had fell off. They wasn't having church there no more. And the church was all dilapidated. And above the baptistry it says, here there is no vision, the people perish.
Amen. Amen.
I believe the W's fell off a lot of our minds.
Amen.
Huh? Where we're hardened to it. We're hardened to the preaching.
Come on.
We hardened ourselves years ago to the cross. To where the cross don't bring a tear to our eye anymore. We harden ourselves to the flames of hell so the message on the hell don't burn in our heart anymore and make our eyes water. And we've hardened ourselves to the coming of Christ to now we don't want Him to come.
Oh my.
We want Him to wait.
Come on.
Wait on what? Wait on you to get somebody saved? Is that what we're waiting on? Are you that busy? Are you that busy trying to get them in that you need a little bit more time? Or is it because you're doodless? And you want to start? Well, when are you going to start? When are you going to be lost?
Come on.
When is your family going to be lost? If they're lost today, they're lost now. If they die today, they'll go to hell today.
Right.
Huh? That's just the truth of the matter. The effort that God done to see a soul saved. The effort that He done. Let's see what He done. Let's look in Luke chapter 2. Let's look in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 verse 11. Let's see what the Lord done. How about the verse we always use at Christmas? For unto you is born this day in the city of David. What is He born? A what?
Savior.
Well, why would He be born a Savior? Why didn't He just say He was born as a man? Because He come as a Savior. Why did He come as a Savior? Because the soul that sinneth shall die.
That's right.
And He came as a Savior. He didn't come as a little babe. He didn't come for, He was a Savior when He was born. He was God.
Amen.
Huh? He came to save. That, to me, that's just doing a lot. To me, it's a lot to leave heaven and come as a Savior. To me, it just seemed like, well, how about Galatians chapter 4? Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, how about verse 4 and 5? But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? Why did He come? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the Son. Why? Because the soul that sinneth shall die.
Right.
That's why He came. I want everybody to look at me. He did not come for you to be happy. He didn't come for you to have a good life down here. He didn't come for you to have all the things we have. He gives us that because He's such a gracious God. He gives us that because He's a Father and loves His children and is willing to give everything. But that's not why He came. He came to redeem us.
Amen.
That's the only reason He came. The only reason He came. Huh? And we've took everything else and got it out of kilter. Put it out of sorts. How about 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to what? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. He only come to save. He didn't come for no other reason. He didn't come that you could cope. Are you listening to me? The mentality of man today and the mentality of preachers today is to get you to cope in life. Just learn how to deal with it. That's sickening.
Yeah. Come on.
Huh? Jesus is what we need. Jesus is what we need. Huh? Don't need to, how do I cope with depression? How do I cope with heart attacks? How do I cope with sugar? Listen, just get saved, and if you die, you die.
Amen.
Huh? Listen, I'm not making light of anything. I'm just telling you where the priorities are. Anything I say now about Jesus being everything, people think I'm nuts. People say, well, he ain't the cure of everything. If he ain't the cure for everything, then he's the cure for nothing.
Amen.
If he ain't all you need, then you don't need nothing. Huh? He's still enough. He's still enough. Listen, I'm just telling you, we're talking about a soul here. We're talking about the importance of a soul. Well, what else did he do? What else do you do? Well, let's see if we can find some. How about John chapter 4? We still okay? John chapter 4. Let me tell you what he done. He went to a certain place. Went to a certain place. Let's look in John chapter 4 and let's look at verse 4. Well, 3 and 4 will get us to where we need to be. Speaking of Jesus, he left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Can I tell you, he went to a certain place. I'm glad he come to a certain place.
Yeah. Amen.
Huh? I was a lost boy in Winona, West Virginia. He come to Winona. He did. He come to Winona seeking me. He come to Winona trying to talk to my heart. But can I tell you, he had it worked out to where I would go over to Dothan, where I would go to Dothan, West Virginia, at the Dothan Missionary Baptist Church. And he had an old preacher that had quit school in eighth grade, but he had the power of God on him when he would preach. And when my daddy would preach, he had me sitting on the front bench and the gospel would be preached to me. And I saw myself lost. And I come to Christ on May the 27th, 1973, a lost boy that's gloriously saved. Why? He come to a certain place. Huh? Come to a certain place. Cheryl Ann, it wasn't just that he come to Mount Lookout. It wasn't just that he come to Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, but he come up there beside the piano.
Yeah, come on.
And saved a little girl named Cheryl.
Amen.
A certain place. Huh? A certain place. Huh?
Absolutely.
Rick Childers all over the creation, driving trucks, working, raised in the big town of Nowlin, raised in a Christian home, went to the church right there beside his house all the time, raised up the way he ought to go. But he had to come to a certain place over pipes, somewhere over next to a college to try to see you saved. Huh? A certain place.
Yeah.
And he went to a certain place where nobody wanted her. That old Samaritan woman that was there by the well that met Jesus, nobody wanted her. Can I tell you, nobody really wants you. Nobody, all people say they love you. Look how they do you. Huh? They talk about you. Is that not true? The people say they love you the most, hurt you the most. Is that not true? It don't matter where it's family, spouses. They talk about you. They lie about you. Your friends lie about you. Huh? Is that not true? Huh? Oh, but there's one that ain't never done nothing wrong to you that wants you just the way you are. Your family don't even want you all the time at gatherings. They wish, I hope they don't come because you get on their nerves. Are you listening to? But there's one that cares for you more than anybody, and that's Jesus Christ. And he come to a certain place to save you this morning.
Sure.
Think about that. Huh? And he don't just come to a certain place, but he comes for a certain person. Let's look in Luke 19. Luke 19. We know this story. I'm going to pronounce it the way I was raised. Now, everybody else pronounces this different. They got education. I ain't got it yet, so I'm still pronouncing it the way I was raised. Luke chapter 19 says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. That's what I still call him. Which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was a little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Y'all all singing a song in your mind, ain't you? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.
Yeah.
He come to a certain place in Samaria, but he come for a certain person named Zacchaeus. Can I tell you, Zacchaeus was just like the Samaritan woman. He was rich. He was a tax man. Nobody liked him. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. He done stole off everybody. He had stole so much that he told the Lord he'd repay fourfold, and that was going to be a wad. He was going to have to pay a wad. But he said, I'm coming to thy house. You're important this morning. You are so important. He wants to abide at your house. It matters not what you've done. Listen, me and Roger was talking outside today. It's funny, we was talking about that out there at the door. So often how was it you said it, Roger? We was talking about Dan Metter and that message on the bottle and the rose. He said, how often we want to look at the bottle instead of the rose. How often we want to look at somebody's past and what they were instead of what Jesus makes them. The new creature that he makes them. Can I tell you that Jesus ain't concerned about what you was? He already knows what you was. You're a sinner, and the soul that sinneth shall die. And he come to save you. He come to save you this morning. He come to save your people. Man, if we're going to number sin, what does the scripture say? If you're going to number sin, if you're going to count, who's going to stand anyhow? I may not have done what you've done. You may not have done what I've done. My past may not be like your past, but your past may not be like mine. Can I tell you this? I may not have done what you've done, but I've thought a lot worse. The things I've thought. I hope the Lord never opens my mind and puts it on the screen. But yet I find in the scripture that even the thoughts will be judged. Are you listening to me? It didn't matter. He died for the sinner. He died for the sinner. Do you know that there's family members, you got family members that don't think they're loved? You got family members this morning that don't think, some of you do, that don't think that God can save them.
Right.
You got neighbors, you got friends. There's people out here in town that believe are too far gone. Too far gone.
Yes.
Ain't no hope for me. You may have thought that about yourself, but here you are sitting there safe.
Yes.
Can I tell you? That the Lord done enough, he went to a certain place. The Lord done enough that he went to a certain person. Can we look over in Luke chapter 23? Can I tell you, the Lord done enough, he had a certain purpose. He had a certain purpose. Luke 23, how about we just read verse 33? It says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. He had a purpose that he was going to come to Calvary.
Amen. Yes.
Cheryl Ann, I think, sung a song here the other Sunday, maybe, about the salvation story. The other Sunday morning here, a couple of Sundays ago. Before creation, before anything was done, it was in the mind of God that Jesus died. And who was it? Maybe B.B. sung the song one time about that small, lonely hill. He made the garden and made all the streams and all the lakes and all the beautiful things he made. And then he made a small lonely hill. Then he made man, made all the animals, and then he looked to that small lonely hill. And then he made man and seen man what he was, but he looked at that little small lonely hill. Because in God's mind, Calvary was in his mind.
Yes.
For before the foundation of the world was laid, the Lamb was slain in the mind of God. Are you listening to me this morning? That he went far enough to go to a certain place. He went far enough to go for a certain person. He went far enough for a certain purpose this morning. And that was to die on Calvary. And yet so many people don't know. So many people don't know. And you say, well, preacher, I just don't believe. I just don't believe that people don't know about Jesus. I was working down here in town. Man came in. I said, do you know the Lord? He said, well, I heard of him. I don't know him. Heard of him. These people's heard of him, but they don't know him. Huh? See, it's to this extent anymore today. Is Grandpa says that the Lord and Jesus and church is essential. The son says church is optional. The grandson says church is not necessary. And the great grandson says, who's Jesus?
That's right. That's exactly right. Amen, preacher.
That's where we're at today.
Yes, sir.
That's where we're at. Huh? See, the soul's important. The soul's important. I don't know about your heart this morning. I don't know. You know, you can be a Catholic and not know the Pope. You can be a Jehovah's Witness and not know Charles Taz Russell.
Right.
You can be a Mormon and not know Joseph Smith. Huh? But you can't be a Christian unless you know Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You're going to have to know Jesus Christ. But so are they. How are they going to know? I believe that question is asked in Romans 10. How shall they hear? Huh? Who's going to tell them?
Right.
Who's going to tell them? Will you tell them? Will you be concerned over this soul? I'm going to ask you this morning. Are you saved? Just flat up. Are you saved? Cheryl, go to Piana. Are you saved? I mean, Bible saved. Have you repented of your sins? Have you turned from the life you was living and turned to Jesus? Turned from your old self, your selfish ways and sin and said, I trust you, Jesus, for everything. Forgive me my sins and I believe on you that you died for me, that you rose again. Are you Bible saved this morning? Huh? Are you saved? If you're not saved, then there's no better day to be saved. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. That's why the Bible says today, harden not your heart. If you hear His voice today, harden not your heart. You say, well, I don't know if He's talking to me. I promise you He spoke to you. If you're unsaved today, I know that He's talked to you because I've given you the gospel. How that Jesus died for you, was buried, He rose again the third day. He'd save you if you'll only come to Him. Are you saved this morning? If you're not saved, you need saved today. You don't need saved after a while. You need saved now. You need saved now. Well, I got all day. No, you don't have all day. I know people's died in church. I know a lot of people act like they're dead in church. I know people's died in church. You can die right where you're sitting. I've told you about old Tony Collins, a preacher from up in Eddy Way. Preached for years, and he always reminded me of Naaman Moore when he preach and testify. He was always wide open. He started wide open and didn't quit. Just everything wide open. He stood and testified. Larry Gothard was a pastor. He stood and testified and praised the Lord and laid his hand over on Larry's fellow Desheimer. Looks like you. Looks like you. See, you don't know. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you understand. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's a personal sentence. It's personal. You're going to die. The soul that sinneth shall die. It will. And you're going to be accountable for your own. The Lord don't want you to. And He don't want your families to be lost. The only thing worse than you going to hell, there is something worse than you going to hell. If you're unsaved this morning, there is something worse than you going to hell. It's your family coming behind you. That'll be worse than you going. If your family comes behind you. What about this morning? I believe we just try to give you the importance of a soul. Father, speaking to our heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Won't you come?